The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Has your life ever taken a turn in an unexpected direction? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently in a series called His Unseen Hand, which is based on Dr. Bob Wilkins' autobiography. Today we're going to hear about one of his experiences where his life took a different turn and things changed in a drastic way. Let's get right to the story with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, Bob, at this point in your life, I'll remind listeners that we're going through events in your life that you've written about in His Unseen Hand, which is your autobiography, which should be coming out, I don't know, in the next year or two.
Definitely in the next decade.
Well, you know, don't make plans for the future. Who knows? But yes, we're aiming for the next year. You had defended your dissertation at Dallas Seminary, got a PhD, or it was a THD in
it
New
was.
Testament.
I later converted it to a PhD when 10 years later they said, we now have the ability to offer PhDs. Would you like to switch?
Yeah.
So I did.
You had wanted to teach at Dallas Seminary. You had graded tons and tons and tons of classes.
Right.
But it was just the wrong time. Some schools especially, they kind of go through hiring spurts, and you had missed the window.
I had missed the window, and from the perspective of God's hidden hand, it wasn't right for me to teach at Dallas Seminary. I realize that now. My niche was elsewhere. My niche was here, but I didn't know that until years later.
So, but you did look for a teaching job.
I did. When I received my doctorate, it's interesting. I was pastoring during the doctoral program.
Yeah.
I started in February of 82 pastoring a small Bible church. I think at the time it had 10 or 15 people. And by January of 1985, which I received my doctorate in May of 85, it was about 25 people, maybe a little bit bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because on January 1, 85, Sharon and I had flown back from Arkansas. We'd been visiting her family there. And one of the elders from this small church picked us up and said, you know, another elder and I'll be back tonight to give you your annual Christmas present. So they came by it that night and gave me a really nice leather-bound Ryrie Study Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really nice. And we had a nice visit. And then they surprised me by saying, Bob, we'd like you to resign.
Mm. Oh, boy. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Well, it was Happy New Year. It was January 1.
Happy New Year by that time.
So turned out they felt my gift was in the area of teaching, and they wanted me to teach.
But you doubled the church.
I had doubled the church, yeah, from 12 to 25. But I had gotten crosswise with them over a financial matter, and that bothered them too. So that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
But I said to them, well, do you have somebody in place? And they said, no, we're going to start the search now. And I said, well, you'll be looking at, you know, probably 6 months to a year before you find anybody. And I said, I'd be happy. I don't have anywhere to go. I'll be happy to continue to preach until you find someone.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we don't want to do that. I found out years later that the reason they didn't want me to do it is they were afraid I would have been hostile and that I would have somehow said negative things about the elders. Well, anyway, so I wrote a nice letter resigning and telling the people in the church I hoped they would stay. It ended up, I then put in applications to all kinds of Bible colleges and seminaries. I think all of them. I think there were 150 in the U.S. and Canada, and I put them into all of them.
Yeah.
And got a offer from Dallas Bible College, which was moving out to East Texas, and it was going to be called Woodcrest College.
Okay.
And so when that happened, I also had an opportunity from DTS. I learned from the homiletics department or the pastoral ministries department, not in the fall, but in the spring, they had two sections of preaching classes that I could teach. And so I remember I went and I met with the pastoral ministries faculty, and I said, okay, what do you guys recommend? I have the choice between full-time at Dallas Bible College for the whole year.
Yeah.
Or two classes here in the spring. And I said, you know, my long-term goal is I'd like to teach here, but I do want to teach. And they all said, look, if you've got the opportunity to teach full-time versus this two classes at DTS, which Yeah. I mean, this wouldn't be any long-term thing.
It's no guarantee.
The likelihood you'd ever get on here in the pastoral ministries department is low.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, take it. So I did. I accepted the position at Dallas Bible, went out to East Texas. In fact, we were at the old Agape Force headquarters, Keith Green's headquarters, really neat kind of ranch-like facility. We were renting it. And the really strange thing, Sean, is that during the course of that first semester out there, we were getting all kinds of word there were financial problems.
Yeah.
And Sharon had given up her job with GTE, which later became Verizon, and was working in the administration, helping as a secretary. And she was hearing rumors that, like, we couldn't pay our bills. We changed gas stations so that we could get credit at another gas station.
Oh, boy.
So we were told that maybe I should do some work during the Christmas break. So I had a friend that hung wallpaper, and so I was hanging wallpaper during the Christmas break. And on December 31, I called Sharon at my lunch break at the school, and she said, they just called us all in and announced the school's folding effective immediately.
Oh, man.
So I lost one job on January 1, 1985, and I lost another job December 31, 1985.
And they're both over financial matters.
Both over financial matters. And I thought, God really has a sense of humor.
Oh, man.
And I thought, this isn't that funny.
No, it's not. I bet it's not. And actually, I mean, you're a young man at this time.
Well, let's see. This was 85, so I was 33.
And, you know, people change over time. They mature over time, hopefully. Where were you emotionally in your marriage and yourself? How were you handling the stress at that time?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say I handled it reasonably well, and I think the reason why is because I had seen God's unseen hand in the past.
Yeah.
In other words, leaving staff with Campus Crusade for Christ seemed like the worst thing in my life,
yeah,
and it turned out phenomenal. Going to Dallas Seminary seemed like a big risk, really, a big challenge, mm-hmm, and yet it turned out great.
Yeah.
Losing the church seemed like a horrendous thing,
yeah,
but it was working out well. Here I got a teaching job.
Yeah.
And so I kind of thought, you know what? If I lost this job, something else is going to open up. God's going to open up something else for me.
Yeah.
And so, again, I sent out all these applications. The funny thing is, remember how I told you before, my mother, when I was in Europe, she had changed me from UCLA to UC Irvine?
Yeah.
Something similar happened here.
Okay.
I had all these applications out. An international school of theology with Campus Crusade for Christ,
mm-hmm,
wanted to interview me for a teaching position in San Bernardino, California.
Okay.
I lived not far from there with my parents, lived an hour and a half from there.
Yeah, your old organization.
Right.
So, sounds great.
So I flew out there, and I taught 7 classes, and while I was out there...
How long were you out there for?
It was about
7 classes.
It was about 4 days, 5 days.
Oh, so these were just kind of like one-off classes, or it was a short class, or what was
it? Oh, no, I would teach one class that was a semester-long class, and I was just a guest lecturer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So
okay.
I guest lectured in like 6 or 7 different classes for over 3 or 4 days. While I was there, the head of the Bible and Greek department at Multnomah School of the Bible called, and I had interviewed with them.
All right.
He wanted to talk to me, and Sharon said, well, you know, Bob's not here right now, but can I talk with you? And he said, well, you know, Bob didn't seem that interested. He seemed a little bit kind of like he was cool toward the opportunity. And Sharon said, oh, no, 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 no. He really, really wants to teach at Multnomah. He thinks very highly of the school, which was true.
Yeah.
He just didn't want to come across as overly eager. And so he said, well, we're kind of concerned that you won't like it in Portland because it rains a lot. And she said, no, no, I've heard it's green and beautiful. I'd love to go. And he says, okay, well, why don't you tell him when he gets back to give me a call and maybe we can have him come out to teach.
Yeah.
So that was kind of unbeknownst to me. But the other thing unbeknownst to me...
So Sharon kind of did the second part of your interview for you.
Right. Well, the other thing that was funny was I didn't find out until years later that during that time, Alaska Bible College had sent a letter and said, we're very interested in you coming out and interviewing and hiring you to teach out here.
Oh, man.
I never heard about that for about 15 years. Sharon told me, well, there's no way we're going to Anchorage.
So she just put a kibosh on that.
She put a kibosh on that, and I later
laughed.
Oh,
man, and you never even heard about it.
I never even heard about it.
But realistically, though, yeah, I mean, she wouldn't have agreed to that.
No.
She would not have.
And the other thing is, she basically talked me into Multnomah.
Yeah.
Because when I had the interview at Dallas Seminary, the person who was interviewing me came across with this attitude like, we're such a phenomenal place, you need to sell us on why we would want you. And I was thinking, why do I want to go to you? Why don't you sell me on your school?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've got a lot to offer. I'm happy to sell myself to you, but you need to do something to sell your school to me.
Right.
And so I was kind of cool in the whole interview, but Sharon made it sound better than it was.
Yeah.
So anyway, I ended up going out there and I was hired. Again, this was God's unseen hand.
It turns out Sharon couldn't handle the rain.
The first 3 months were great, but when the rain started, you're right. She had this SAD disease, you know, seasonally affective disorder.
Yeah.
And she couldn't eat very well. She couldn't sleep very well. And so we made plans to leave, and I remember I told the academic dean, and he was like, please try to make this work out because we want you to stay. We went to counseling. We did everything we could. She tried all she could, but it wasn't working. So we left at the end of a year, and I had already started Grace Evangelical Society. During the summer, we were in East Texas before we came to Oregon.
Oh, well, no, we're going to have to talk about that, but I think it's going to have to wait.
All right, we'll wait till the next one, but the interesting thing is when I left Multnomah, which was my third lost ministry,
man,
when I lost this one, I again was thinking, you know what? God's got some purpose in this.
Yeah.
And we decided to go back and give a shot at me being full-time with Grace Evangelical Society, even though Grace Evangelical Society had only received $300 in the first year.
That's optimism.
And so we had no money.
Sure.
And I had to raise it, but I kind of felt like God might use this. And in looking back on it, this was God's unseen hand again.
All right, we'll find out more about that in the next episode. So keep on listening. We'll see you guys on the next show.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to discuss the origins of the Grace Evangelical Society. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.